Today in Syria, the bloodbath continues. Unconfirmed reports on the ground from people in the southern city of Dara say that so many people have been killed that bodies are piling up inside homes because people are not able to bury their dead. Government forces are stopping at nothing to quell the protests, including shooting indiscriminately at funeral processions and even deploying tanks into residential areas. But things might change soon, according to one Syrian activist, who says that there is now infighting within the Syrian army as soldiers refuse orders to shoot at their own people. Amar Abdulhamid is an exiled Syrian activist currently in the United States. He has been in communication with eyewitnesses on the ground using sat phones, and we reached him in Washington.
Mr. Abdulhamid, what reports are you hearing out of Syria that indicate that there may be some divisions within the army of Syria?
Well, we have eyewitness reports that in the city of Daraa itself. This is where the actual problem is located at this stage. Some troops defected from the 5th Division, and they are now sort of engaged in combat with pro-Assad troops from the 4th Division. It's not clear yet what's the size of this sort of defection, but it seems to be serious enough because we kept getting these reports from the city itself, from eyewitnesses, over the last couple of days. And we have really hesitated to sort of confirm it. We always said there are unconfirmed reports. But yesterday we got images of tanks going to Daraa, new tanks, about 30 of them. So there seems to be really indeed something taking place, a larger conflict.
But how widespread do you think those defections are? This is within the 5th Division.
It's within the 5th Division. Right now, we did not hear of any major defections from other army units. But then the army is only really seriously active in Daraa. This is the only place in Syria where the army tanks actually invaded the city. And immediately, within hours after the first invade, they invaded the city, began hearing reports that there was a division within the army and there was a sort of a mutiny of sorts taking place.
On Monday, we heard from Human Rights Watch. They said that the Syrian government was launching an all-out military campaign, just putting everything out there in order to scare the wits out of people and get them to withdraw. So what role might the 5th Division have played in that campaign?
Well, it seems to me that it's the fact that they were thrust into a battle in which they were not convinced. And many of the members in the army, they are not used to really being in a position where they're having to fire at their own people. And I think thrusting the army in this manner, the Assads might have calculated that some defections will occur, but they didn't really think that it's going to be a major problem. But now it seems that in Daraa, it did become a major problem for them. We were banking, basically, on the army refusing to fire, at least at protesters, and sort of breaking away from the Assads. Mm-hmm. But what we do not want is to see, actually, this kind of situation whereby different units of the army are clashing, but it seems inevitable if the Assads are going to insist on dealing with the protesters from a sort of a military angle and see them as a security sort of a threat. So it seems inevitable that some people in the army are not just going to object and defect, but they are actually going to do their job, which is to protect the people.
Now, you've also mentioned in some of your writing that the 4th Division, which is led by none other than the brother of Bashar al-Assad, the president, his troops are not withdrawing. They're full force out there going after the protesters. What do you know about what's happened with him and the 4th Division?
Well, the 4th Division, many of its units are still engaged in Daraa. They are the one now that are being attacked and that they seem to have called for some backup from Damascus. So they are really spread thin right now, this division, all over the country. And it's difficult to, however, get confirmation on exactly how sort of the different units are spread out and also whether indeed Maher al-Assad is sort of in Daraa itself, as some reports claim, or that if he's managing the situation from Damascus. They're also, from their perspective, doing their job. Their job has always been to protect the regime. So their loyalty is to Assad, undeniably so. And, they are well-equipped, well-armed. They have the most advanced weapons in all of the Syrian army. It's going to be difficult to, of course, deal with them if they are committed to the cause and to use them violence.
Just on a personal question for you, you went into self-imposed exile from Syria a few years ago. You were running a pro-democracy movement there, or trying to get one started, the Thawra Project, and you now live in the United States, where you're monitoring these events in Syria. What's it like to watch from a distance? Because you're getting a lot of information, but it must be frustrating.
It has its frustration, but at the same time, we do have a role. I mean, we, in a sense, played a role ever since we were in Syria and even afterwards, up until 2009, in getting a message of change across. One of the last things we did that seems to have really played a part in spreading awareness is a TV program. We called it First Step, which was a six-hour discussion show in which we argued the case for a democratic protest movement. And many of the things that we said are, have been raised by the protesters themselves. So we seem to have had an effect on the movement one way or another. And that is, in a sense, gratifying. And now our role is sort of to advise and to report and to amplify the voices of the protesters so that the international community hears what the protesters want and sort of sympathize. We are pushing the case for sanctions now. I feel that I'm playing a role here on the outside that is also important, because the protest movement needs people who understand its causes, who understand the ethos, and who can relay a message to the international community in a manner that is sort of depersonalized, because really the focus needs to be on the protesters and on their demands. So this alleviates a little bit the anxiety and the frustration over being so far away from these developments that I always wanted to see taking place. I mean, in terms of the protest movement and the numbers in the street, not in terms of the violence, of course.
Well, I appreciate the information that you have provided for us today, Mr. Abdul Hamid. Thank you for speaking with us.
Thank you very much for having me.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.